Hi, I'm Anita.
Hey, I'm Ingrid.
Hey, y'all, I'm Lori.
Welcome to Overdue, Conversations from the Library.
We are back.
It has been so long.
We are so very back.
Guys, you have no idea what has happened in our life, what has happened in our spaces over the last, I wanted to say months, but it's actually been over a year and a half.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even remember the last time we recorded, but where we recorded consistently, it's been since 2019, correct?
2019, and I think we stopped right as COVID was hitting. Or maybe we went a little further into it because of COVID and the changes of our of our positions and jobs and everything. So welcome.
So our platform is pretty much the same, right? We're just going to have conversations that are overdue about the school library and anything to do with the school library media, you know, career, our spaces, our daily lives as school librarians.
And our careers have changed since, you know, coming back from COVID.
Yes, the roles, all of the things that we do on a daily basis.
The expectations.
And so, I don't know about you guys, but I even feel like because we've had some changes, people need to be reintroduced to what we actually do every day. I mean, that's how I feel.
Absolutely. So I think that we are still a positive influence on our students and a positive influence on our staff. And even in our community, I have parents still that come in and I'm still at my same school. They'll have to drag me out of there when I gleefully bounce out as I retire in like 7 or 8 years. So there won't be any dragging. I love my school, but I will be ready for retirement at that point. But one of the things that is really big, at least for me, since COVID in coming back, is our district transition to a one-to-one district. And so we are now the gatekeepers of the technology that the students have.
I think that's a huge role that many of us have taken on, absolutely. After lending out our technology during COVID to make sure students had what they needed to continue to learn, and then coming back into our spaces, this is what, like, really the second year, a year and a half, we've actually been back in our spaces full time. And so it's still kind of new to me, and I don't know about everybody else, but now we just manage that technology from within, and library media specialists are it. We are made it for technology in continuing to manage that big area of, you know,
need for our students and our staff.
Yes. So, Ingrid?
Yes?
You're like abnormally quiet over there. You're not.
Yes. I'm just listening.
Yes.
Yes to everything y'all said, obviously, right? I think for me, which is not going to come as a surprise to any of you that have listened before, is I was just talking about this earlier, is that my kids just really fill my bucket all the time. I fall in love every year with each and every one of them. And I'm really excited that I get to keep them.
Yes.
For two more years now, because Lindley Sixth Grade Academy is going to be the Betty Gray Middle School, and it will be a full 6 through 8. So I'm very excited about that idea.
How many years have you done just sixth grade?
Four.
So 4 years is just sixth grade.
Just sixth grade babies. And previous to that, when I was at a different school that was 6 to 8, I always said that seventh graders were my favorite, because they had already had me for a year and they had been in my space and they felt comfortable. So I've missed having seventh graders, right? And I know that most middle school teachers will not list seventh grade as their favorite, but those were always my favorite babies. So I'm excited. I'm excited to have all of them back.
You know what I'm excited about for you?
What?
You get a whole new space.
I am overwhelmed.
So let me just show
so
you.
So grateful.
Explain this to you. It was right around the time that we were starting or thinking about podcasting. Lori and I went over to Ingrid's new school one day during the summer.
We was actually, that a new school?
No.
No, there was nothing new about it.
Her bookshelves weren't even the same colors.
They're not like, the same height, the same width.
You had living room furniture in your
library. My husband said it looked like somebody took a fraternity house and just stole all their furniture.
So we went over there to help her and try to help her think about how ways she would want to set things up. And we did the best we could with what she had. But now, this summer, she's getting a whole new, isn't it the summer?
Because it's transitioning from just sixth grade.
It'll be done by October. But there's a lot of moving pieces. It is. But yeah, I'm really excited. I filled up 6 dumpsters that first summer.
Wow.
Between coming in and school starting. And then I spent another 3 years. I had the whole, oh gosh, do you guys remember my circulation debacle?
Oh my goodness.
So a school that shall not be named, but they were graciously put out an email to the library media specialists in our district and said, hey, I'm getting this really nice new circulation desk. Does anyone want my old one? And I looked at it and it was like 500 times nicer than nothing. I'm like, oh my God, I want it. But they couldn't disassemble it. And once they disassembled it, they couldn't reassemble it. And I was like, a few weeks before school started, I still didn't have a circulation desk. So yeah, there's just been a lot to get the space to even where it is now. But I've really like reached my level of what I could do with the space. Like I feel like I maxed out my potential with what I had been given. So to be able to see it evolve into something better and bigger, and it's just amazing. I'm really looking forward to it.
What I find amazing is that these kids deserve it.
Yes.
They do.
Our kids, every student out there that goes to public schools or any school really, but they just deserve to have a nice library. Okay.
They do. Completely.
Watching Breakfast Club and seeing the library in Breakfast Club, the two-story library, like back in the day, that was probably like the it library. But do you know some of our libraries still have that same furniture in them? Mm-hmm. Like there's really no investment in our libraries across districts. Like some have brand new libraries, some have updated libraries, and then you have the schools that were built in the 50s that just aren't getting any attention.
1965.
1951. And so when these kids visit different schools and they see a nice library at one school and not at theirs, I feel like they're wondering, like, why don't I have that?
You know what, though? I think that I agree. They deserve it. They should have it. And it's not fair that all of our children don't have access to the same type of facility.
I'm not talking about fair. But, I'm talking about equity.
And I agree. I would agree. Bad word on my part. But I would say this. It's that time of year again, right? Like my library helpers are way too comfortable in my space. Time for a whole new crop. And I'm digging through my 40 plus library applications. And I'm going to say most of my kids said, because this is the best library I've ever been in, or because your library is my favorite place. So I would argue my library isn't as pretty, right? And it's not as nice. But if you were to ask kids, most of the time they love the space they have. Right? They don't necessarily notice the inequities as much as we do.
Correct.
Because we attempt to make it, you know, better and inviting. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Sorry, that was my computer that dinged, not your time limit.
Oh, no worries. I am now done talking.
I totally agree. And I think it's the people in the space, the librarians and the parapros, that make it, I mean, yes, we can have nice furniture and we can have the latest and greatest technology and the latest and greatest books, but it's the people that make that space inviting.
That was my point.
And it's the people that make that space where students want to spend their time.
And where teachers want to come to collaborate. And you know, walk through and, I don't know, and are just in the space because they enjoy it. I just don't think we're a safe space for just students. I mean, how many of us, you know, have those bartender moments, right? Where you're just sitting in your office and someone is upset or angry or crying or whatever that may be, and they're not a student.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, you guys are talking about all the really nice things and stuff like the furniture and the decorations and all. I'm really talking about investing in our libraries where we do have the latest technology that the kids can learn from. I mean, literally, I have no technology in my library right now, and I try to work off of iPads. And so, like, a lot of the apps that we have in our district and stuff, getting the kids logged in on an iPad because they have to use their long email address and then their password. And then once they're in the app, they have to re-log in again and stuff. It's just really, really difficult to teach from. But also our library collections. I can't tell you how many times I've had a teacher come in and ask for a book and we don't have it because the budget isn't there to purchase the collections and update those collections and everything. So I did like a three gaylor box weeding when I first got to the library I'm in right now, and it takes a long time to rebuild that collection with a small budget and everything like that. So when I'm talking about investment, I'm talking about investment in the materials and the resources and stuff that the kids need to be able to learn at the same level as kids in other libraries across our district or across other districts or public schools, whatever. I mean, I'm gonna blow this up across the nation because this isn't something that's just like within our area and everything like that. So I just want to clarify that right there. I don't care that I have the best looking furniture, but I want equitable resources in my library.
Absolutely.
I mean, I completely agree. And it's unfortunate that we aren't budgeted more money. It really is. And I have been blessed with an administrative team. My principal, Dr. Denise McGee, who gives me more money every year to spend than what I get from the state. So she gives me $2,000 more than what I get from the state consistently every year. And that's just for hard copy books. That isn't the money I get for, you know, ebooks and audiobooks and a variety of other things, but it shouldn't be like that. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? It should be that we are just getting more funding to be able to do this without the supplement from funds from other pockets, right? Because she's taking that money from somewhere and distributing it to me, and it shouldn't have to be like that. I agree.
So I was in a meeting the other day with one of our teachers, and they mentioned something about how they had read an article about how the state, our state that we live in, Georgia, has a surplus of funds right now. And it was like $6 million or $6 billion or something like that dollars. And he wrote to his representatives and was like, hey, if you have a surplus, education could use it because we really need the money right now. And so if you know of any representative in the state of Georgia and you want to tell them that they need to fund their school libraries more, that would be awesome. I mean, I'm just putting it out there. But yeah, it's difficult because, like, when I started at the school I'm at, we had 950 students, but we have mostly one neighborhood, which I love, that feeds into us. I have a lot of friends that live in that neighborhood. It's a huge neighborhood. And the problem is that people love that neighborhood so much that after their students have gone through elementary school, middle school, and high school, the parents stay, which is great, but then it's not bringing in any more families into that neighborhood. So, like, our school population has dropped drastically since I, you know, in the 15 or so years that I've been there, that now we're at like 650 students because...
And that's where our budgets are based on.
And that's our budgets are based on how many students we serve, and my funding has gone down probably $3,000 to $4,000 in that time period as well.
But so, those kids still need the same resources. Exactly. So that $3,000 should still be there in order for them to get those resources that other schools
it would
that
be
have
wonderful.
1,500 kids, right? And so, I don't know, just the inequity is just, that is the one thing coming back from the past few years that we've kind of been out in trying to reimagine, reorganize, whatever you want to call it, what it looks like in the library media world after COVID, that would be my one thing that I would be my soapbox, I guess you could say. For those that don't know, I went from middle school to elementary level. And so that has been a big change for me at so many levels and so many different ways and everything. And there's some very positive things to that. And then there's some very big changes that are very different from middle school as well. But I have 6 grade levels plus pre-K that I'm trying to provide resources for versus 3 grade levels in a middle school. And so I don't like to talk about the number of kids. I'm talking about things are very different from kindergarten to a 6th or 5th grader. And so very different resources for each of those grade levels to meet the needs of what they're learning and the standards in each of those grade levels and everything like that. And so, I guess I'm breaking it down to really the nitty gritty versus mm-hmm. just the number of kids and really considering what those needs are based on each grade level versus a whole school and just the attendance that's there. I don't know. So,
I mean, I think we all agree that, as anyone who is listening to this would probably agree that, yeah, libraries need more funds. Mm-hmm. We need more ability to provide our students with the tools and the,
resources.
Thank you. Resources to be successful. And that is really our function. We are designed and in place to promote and encourage and further student achievement. And it's hard to do that when you don't have the tools to make that happen.
Yes. And so one of the things I've always done, even at the middle school level, is look for funds on the outside. We're always looking for grants and entering contests or whatever it is that we need to do to supplement our funding. And so I'm excited because yesterday I just finished, and it took me a couple of weeks to build this cart because I didn't even know I had one. So I enter everything I see, okay, because I just want the things for my kids, right? So if you're a Title I school, you're familiar with First Book. And so I purchase from them often, not for my collection, but for like book clubs and mm-hmm. just giveaways and things mm-hmm. like that. And so at some point I entered something through First Book at the beginning of the school year, and I got an email and I read it on the way to work. Don't forget to spend your funds that you earned. And I was like, what? And so I emailed the person back and I was like, I'm not sure if I got this by mistake. Can you verify that I'm supposed to be included on this email? I'm not familiar with what's happening, kind of thing. And they emailed me back and said, yeah, you were awarded $720 to
wow.
a gift certificate for First Book. And I was like, yes. screaming in my car, obviously.
Yeah,
and
at First Book, that will take you
very far.
Yes.
So I was like, oh my goodness, I'm so excited. So I don't know if you guys are familiar with the app Novel Effect, but it's very awesome. It was actually an app that when I was on the ASL, Best Apps in something for schools or whatever. That was the app that I suggested that year when I was on the committee, and that was like 5 or 6 years ago. But Novel Effect is now becoming up and coming, I should say, and they're adding new books every day. But it's sound effects. You get sound effects while you're doing a read aloud, and it's so cute, and the kids love it.
I remember you talking about that.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to look it up right now. That sounds so adorable.
Yes, and so
what's it called? Novel Effect?
Novel Effect.
Okay.
And so what I did was I went and looked at Novel Effect's book bank and then looked at First Book's bank, and I tried to get as many books that in from First Book that matched up with Novel Effect so that I could have those for read alouds at my school. And so I had so much, it took me a while, guys. I mean, to look through their bank and First Book and going back and forth and everything, and then checking my collection to see if I already had it and stuff. So I finally got it done last night in a nutshell. And $720 worth of books. And another cool thing about Novel Effect is that Anita's popular. She keeps getting emails. Just that's what that sound is.
They're probably school-wide or grade-level emails that I don't even need to look at.
But anyway, Novel Effect also sells stickers. So the stickers are little. We have little barcodes, and it has their little logo on it. And you put them on the books in your library that have that have novel or attached to novel effects. So, you know that that book has sound effects to it if you use the Novel Effect app. The Novel Effect app is super cheap too. And I think they just had a sale recently where it was only $19 for a year. So I'm just going to throw that out there. I don't know if it's still going or not, but it's still very cheap. It's like 30-ish, 40-ish dollars a year for an individual membership. But anyway, so I went and bought these two little tiny bookcases, and I'm putting all my Novel Effect books in there from first book with the stickers on it. That way, when the kids come in for a read aloud, they're right there. They can pick from the book stands and pick which book they want me to read aloud, or I'll just pick one. Guys, I'm so excited about this. When things like come together like that, you're like, I'm like, I don't know, what do you call it? Vendor smashing first book and Novel Effect.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm gonna be totally honest here.
Mash up.
I love that First Books gives Title I schools books at a discounted rate. My problem is I'm not a Title I school. I'm in a middle class neighborhood, but my funding has gone down over the years that we've lost students. And like we said earlier, that funding is what number of students determines how much funding we're going to have. I wish that First Books, is it First Books?
Mm-hmm. Okay. First Book.
I wish that First Book made that available to all public schools, simply because I don't care how socioeconomically you are. Everyone needs books at a discounted rate.
That goes back to my equity.
So, First Book, if you're listening, please help a girl out. Make this available to all public schools.
Help a girl
or
out. Help
any
school library.
Exactly.
Help a teacher out. Help public education.
Because I would love. I know some schools are able to give their students out books and stuff like that, and it's my understanding that First Book is very cheap. I don't want to say the price on here in case I'm wrong, but it's my understanding, and I would love to be able to purchase books not only for our collection, but also to, hey, you liked this book, let me give you this book, or to give a book out for everybody's birthday, or, help a student who, they fell in love with that book and they keep checking it out.
So I give books away for all of those things, but yes. Most of the time I give books away because they land on it on the wheel of reading.
I wish I could do that, but I cannot afford to do that.
Well, just so people know, First Book, actually, they get their books from donations. So for anybody who donates books to First Book so that we can get them at the books at a discounted price, thank you so much for doing that, because without donors, it wouldn't even exist at all. And so continue to do that. Our kids love it. The most wonderful thing that keeps you going every day, and I kind of speak to what Ingrid was talking about, is when you get new books in from Follett or wherever you order your books from, and they come in and they get checked out. Like, you do your book display and it's ruined in 5 minutes, and then it's empty in 5 minutes. There's nothing left there. Yeah. And you're like, what? The thing is that once those books go out into circulation and they go back into the classrooms, their friends want the same book. Mm-hmm. And they come to the library and they're like, oh, I want a copy too. And you're like, oh my goodness, we need so many more copies. And then, of course, if they're waiting for a friend to bring it back, and it takes a little while for them to bring it back, and then it goes overdue. Wow, that's us, yeah. Right? But anyway, so there's such a need to have these books in the library. Kids really do want to read. They really do want access to these their favorites. Libraries, we build readers. We introduce them to the students to reading. We create lifelong readers and stuff, but without the books, you can't do that. You know what I mean? And a diverse collection of books, a variety of books, and all the genres and stuff like that, with more than one copy, is so integral. And so, that's where the investment in our public school libraries is just so in need right now.
And let me give you an example. Last year, I had 3 copies of the book Scythe. Mm-hmm. It's a favorite among middle school. I loved it when I read it. This year, I had a new student come in, and he came up to me and he said, do you have the book Scythe? Because the other two books in the series are there. But at my old school, he had just moved in. At my old school, I was in the middle of reading it, and I'd really like to finish it. And I said, yeah, we have three copies of it. Let me check and see when they're due. No, all three copies said that they were in. They all three walked. And I'm like, oh, no. I mean,
it is a
thing. Doesn't happen a lot, but when it happens,
it is a thing.
Oh, my goodness.
It happens to my books all the time.
Yes.
All the time.
Well, I did have a student once take an entire series.
You know,
you can't. And I,
no.
I mean, I don't know. And I have a different opinion than a lot of other people, but I delete fines because, again, people are getting ready to graduate. And I'm like, listen, I am not going to prevent you from walking up to receive your diploma because you lost a book when you were 11.
You might as well go stand on the stage at graduation and have a jar.
Yeah. So I, what I ended up
Here's
doing,
it's overdue.
So what I ended up doing was I bought the whole series, on Amazon, me personally, not my school funds, over Christmas break. And so I brought it in, and, you know, he asked me when we came back, and I'm like, I forgot it. It's at home. It's on my dining room table. I'll bring it in. So I brought it in. We processed it and did all the stuff to it that we needed to. And then I told my parents, I said, hold it for a few days, and let's see if he comes in to check it out. And he didn't. Like, a whole week went by. He had been coming in almost every day. And so she ended up putting it on the shelf, and somebody checked it out 5 minutes before that poor kid walked in. But had I had the ability to buy those books from a lower costing source, then I wouldn't have to worry about that, and I wouldn't be paying for it out of my pocket.
Well, and that's so true too, because the one thing we also do as school librarians is check out our personal collection to our students. And so I bought this really cute little stamp from the library of Mrs. Quintana, read it, love it, return it. And I just put that little stamp in it whenever I give or let somebody borrow one of my personal books. And the kids are amazing. I've never not had a student bring a book back that they borrowed from my personal collection.
Well, and you're so nice about it. I do the same thing. Or like when books come in and they're not processed and a kid really wants it. But I'm like, you have to look me in my eyeballs. Look at me. This is my personal book. Do not lose it. Yeah. Do not put it in the book return. Bring it back to me and put it in my hands. I am trusting you. Like I like totally like throw mom guilt at that. You're just so nice. Borrow it, return it. And I'm like, listen, look in my eyeballs. Like,
so I even had a high schooler come in last week and ask if she could borrow a book. And then we did not have it. And I said, you know what? I have it at home. I'll have it for you here by, it was like on Friday that she was asking. I was like, I'll have it here for you on Monday. And I did. I brought it in. But I let her know, this is my personal copy of Little Women.
I'm trusting
you. If they don't bring it back, I'm telling you, 5, 6, 10, 15, 20 years down the road, that book will still be in their hand, and they're going to find it somewhere, and they're going to remember. And you know what? You can become a reader at any age. And so that right there might instill them to become a reader even at that age and stuff, because it just, I don't know. I mean, and I'm saying that because I found old books recently that were from when I was in school and stuff. So you never know.
Libraries matter.
The impact that you're going to make on kids.
That's right. And that goes back to the really cool sticker I got.
Yes, right? I teach things that can't be Googled.
Love it.
Okay, you have to use the name, though. We're not copywriting.
I can't read it. Brian Buffington. I know who that is.
And I love my sticker.
Anyway. Okay, so anything else y'all want to share? Because we're getting to the 30-minute mark and, you know.
Oh, we're timing ourselves.
I'm not timing. I'm just seeing it on there.
It's January 2023. It's a new season. Season one, season three. Well, whatever. I don't know which season it is, but it's a new season one. How about that? Yeah. Episode one.
That's right.
And so, guys, listen, we're just gonna podcast and record and have conversations. And
if there's something you want to talk about, Let us know.
Yes. And it's just about having fun and talking as friends and colleagues and stuff like that. Before we do go, though, I want to say one more thing about Novel Effect. And no, I'm not getting any kickbacks or anything like that. But they also have activities and lessons that they offer, too, with some of the books as well. So that's another advantage to it. And they let you also suggest if they're if they don't have a book in their bank, that you can make a recommendation for it as well. So anyway, that's all I wanted to say because I was just very excited about that. But
okay, I'm just going to go on and do a personal plug here. Yeah, I'm cringy at times. At least my son and my students tell me that. But I am on TikTok, so if you want to check us out, it's Autry CLC. I had some students help me with it last year, but of course they moved on to high school. So it's just been me this year doing it. But Jerry Brooks liked and commented on one of my videos the other day. And if you know who he is, then you know why I'm like fangirling a little. But yeah, it's TikTok and it's Autry CLC, all one word.
Well, I'm going to make a plug for Overdue Conversations from the Library. And we still have a Twitter at Overdue Lib Talk. And so you can follow us. I know some people have kind of fled Twitter. but if you still are on Twitter or not, you can invite other people to come back. We are also on Twitter as well. So we'll post our recordings there.
Anything you want to plug or say?
No, just that I've missed you guys.
Same.
I missed you.
It's nice to be back and to see your faces.
I just love this. I love our conversations. It's just been...
I do too. And this one, I mean, yeah, it was 30 minutes, but to me it went very quickly.
Would you quit timing us?
Give me a little bell.
The recording is on my phone, and it's counting how long we're recording.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Since it's on your phone, I'll give that to you.
Okay. All right, so...
When do we let them know when we're going to record again? When are they going to expect another recording?
I don't think we're going to do every week right now. I think once a month might be more at our speed. We are setting time aside to get together for our CCC, and that is our collaboration group that we're in. So
I'm going to say we're going to record whenever we have the feeling.
Yeah. There you go.
So see you next year.
Oh, please. We've already tried to do a restart. What? This is the third time.
It is.
It really is.
If anyone even stuck with us this long and is actually listening to our podcast at this point.
Yeah, if you stuck with us, go to Twitter and give us a comment that we still got it or something like that.
Yes. Yay. We're so happy you're back.
All right. All right.
So anyway.
So,
good day.
Hopefully you enjoyed.
I said good day.
Hopefully you enjoyed our conversation that we just had, and we're happy.
If you have anything overdue, let us know.
Yeah.
Now we're just punchy.
All right. See you next time.
Bye, y'all.
See ya.